has been an awakening. Have you felt it? The dark side and the light.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of The Hollywood Outsider, where we discuss in detail, and yes, that means spoilers. So if you've not seen the movie yet, and really, if you've not seen the movie yet, why are you listening to this podcast?
You haven't even said what the movie was.
Star Wars, Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Man, I thought this was the sisters.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in this.
Oh, did I get that wrong on the calendar?
Yeah, wrong day.
My name is Jedi Master Justin McCumber, and with me today are my fellow Force users. First, we have the yin to my yang, Sith Lord Darth Arrogance, Aaron Peterson.
I can buy that. What's going on?
Not much. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm using some mind tricks on you right now. I'm trying to choke you, but I don't know if it's reaching.
I don't think it's reaching me. Next, we have Jedi Knight Bubba Gump, Brian Williams.
What's up? With my camo robe and stuff.
Hey, Jedi.
I can see that. Robe comes out that safety orange or whatever.
Right.
And lastly, which probably does mean leastly, we have Padawan learner Scooter Womp Rat, Scotty Clark.
Scooter Womp Rat. What color is my lightsaber? We know what color Brian's is.
You don't
is.
Get one yet.
It's like a safety stick.
I'm actually just surprised I'm at least a Padawan. I figured I was going to be one of the droids.
No, you're a Padawan. You're learning.
They're too smart.
Yeah, they're way too smart.
And adorable.
You can reach us online at thehollywoodoutsider.com. If you'd like to send us a tweet, you can do so at @H_Outsider. We also have a page and a group on Facebook. You can email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider. I hope you guys are able to enjoy this episode because it will be the last one for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Yep.
So you're going to be without us and our sultry voices for a while. You may, in fact, want to just keep this on your player so you can listen to us whenever you need to, because it will be a little while.
I hope you like Star Wars then, because that if you don't like it, that would be a very bad choice. I mean, pick another episode, like any other episode.
Or Christmas episode.
If you like Star Wars?
Yeah, there are people that don't
like. Is
that
even a question?
There are people that don't. I know this shocks you, but there are people that don't like Star Wars.
Ew. What kind of?
Yeah, it's almost becoming like a hipster type thing to where you don't like it. Oh, I've never seen it. I've never watched one of them.
There are people that have never seen it. It's okay.
But they live like in third world countries, right?
No, they play it there. That's the one that they get. They get bread and they get Star Wars. So. That's,
no clean water, but no, they get Star Wars.
No, but they get that a lot. Yeah.
Well, if you got Star Wars, you don't need clean water. You got everything you need.
Wow.
Well, before we get started on this, I thought that it might help our listeners know where our opinions on these individual segments are coming from if they know our feelings overall regarding this film. We don't have to go into a lengthy review, guys. Mm-hmm. Just a quick... Liked it, didn't like it, though if I hear didn't like it, I seriously might have to quit this podcast. I posted a review online, so you should know what my review is. It was a 20 out of $10. Unfortunately,
we knew what it was before you wrote it.
The software doesn't allow for that, so I had to stop at 10 bucks, but I thought it was just an amazing, amazing film, a wonderful addition to the Star Wars canon. And I'll be seeing it again later today for my third time. I can't wait to go.
And to give Justin some credit here, he did let me know before he ever saw the movie. Look, I already know what my review is going to be. So
I've already started writing.
Yeah, he's already started writing it.
Now I just need to fill in particular details.
Yeah, I just had to add like fill in the blanks for the names and.
Yep, exactly.
It's Brian, like what did you think of it?
I really enjoyed it. I think it was a good. Passing of the torch, and I thought it overall paid a very good tribute to the past and also setting up the future. So overall, very enjoyable.
Scotty?
I feel the same. I had so much fun watching this movie. I mean, I anticipated having so much fun, and I had even more fun on it. It's one of those that I'm so glad I saw on opening weekend, because seeing it with a group of people that are as big a Star Wars geeks as I am, and, you know, normally I get annoyed when people cheer or clap during a movie, and this one I didn't. I was clapping right along with them and cheering when people that I wanted to see on the screen finally showed up. It was just a blast. So much fun.
Cool. And Darth Arrogance?
I had a lot of fun. I think it's a real smart bridging of generations. I think it does a great job of bringing both the original trilogy generation, the prequel trilogy, and then this new generation of filmgoers together by reintroducing a few ideas. I have some nitpicks, but nothing to take away from the fun. Kind of like Jurassic World, where yes, it has some flaws, but the movie is still enjoyable in spite of those flaws.
And very few lens flares to be had.
Exactly. I was looking for them, like, man, because the lightsaber is a prime time to go
and
blind.
I actually made that point to Aaron a couple of days ago.
You sure did. So. Mm-hmm. It was impressive.
Most impressive.
I thought...
Ooh. Ooh.
Well played, Scotty. Or whatever your name is. Scooter. Sorry, Scooter.
Scooter McGavin.
Scooter Womp Rat.
Scooter Womp Rat.
All right, let's kick this things off. Several new heroes were brought into the Star Wars universe through this film. Which was your favorite between these new heroes? We've got Finn, we've got Rey, and then we've got Poe Dameron. Aaron, which one did you find yourself most liking?
Oh, man, that's tough, because Oscar Isaac is literally one of my favorite supporting actors working today. And, of course, he's brilliant as Poe. Like, I tell you what, this movie made me look at Ivan Ooze or whatever in Apocalypse and not worry at all about X-Men Apocalypse. He'll be great. I don't care what he looks like. He'll be great. But Rey's definitely the one that stood out. I love that we have, what's the best way to say it? I think I was telling your wife, actually, Justin, on Facebook. I love female characters that are strong, that don't have to constantly tell me how strong and female they are. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about Rey. She just was a strong character. She didn't have to point out I'm female every 15 minutes or that I'm vulnerable every 15 minutes. She was just a strong female character, period.
She even had the line, you know, why are you always trying to hold my hand? Mm-hmm. Why, you know, I don't need you to hold my hand type, you know, so that was
because
nice.
He thinks you're cute.
Well, yeah, she is. She's adorable. She looks like Hayley Atwell. And man, you know, so as the attractive bug, yeah, she's cute, but that's not why I liked her at all. She was just a great character. And
just don't tell her she looks like Keira Knightley.
I have a theory, a potential theory regarding her and what her similarity to Keira Knightley might mean.
Okay.
Where are you going with this?
Remember in the prequel movies.
Oh, boy.
When Queen Amidala always had her handmaidens with her,
mm-hmm.
one of them was Keira Knightley. And the reason she had them was so that any of these girls could step in and be Queen Amidala because they look so much like her. If Keira Knightley could pass as Queen Amidala, then maybe that means that Rey, because of that similarity of appearance, if Amidala is a parent of Luke and Leia, then it might follow suit that Rey might look like her grandmother. Mm. And so either one of them could be, either Luke or Leia could be her parent. A lot of people think Leia and Han are her parents. I think it's Luke and someone else. But then again, there is this whole notion of Luke and Leia being twins, and usually children of twins have a higher likelihood of having twins. And so then you go back to the Han and Leia possibility.
Well, Luke and Leia were kind of into each other for a little while. Maybe they forgot they were brother and sister one night and boom.
Yeah, maybe that was a scene that ended up on the cutting room floor, you know?
So much force.
When I was a kid and like rumors would fly about the characters and who was whatever, and I never read the books, but I had this memory of a friend who told me that he read the books and that Han and Leia had twins. That's always been in the back of my mind. It could have been just like a total rumor or something like
no,
that.
No, they had like three kids, but the canon, the extended universe, is that what they call it or whatever, is no longer
now
valid.
Now it's called the legacy universe.
Yeah, it's not part of the film stuff. So it's
not to say, though, that they didn't borrow elements from it.
It's possible.
Okay. It's possible. Because one of their children in the books did go dark side as well.
And so, right. Luke is kind of a monk. But you didn't let the other guys answer. What was your favorite characters?
Brian, favorite character?
For me, it was Poe. I kept wanting to see him. I was really a little bit disappointed that he wasn't in it as much or maybe as prominently. I really liked his swag, the fun he was having. He really looked like that kind of stereotypical kind of swashbuckling pilot. And I want to see much more of him. And I was, he's one of those guys that I've paid attention to over the years, ever since I noticed him in, what's the bad movie with all the dreams and stuff. He was the,
it ain't doctor. Bad. Sucker Punch is a
Sucker
fine
Punch. It was all right. I like it better than most people that hammer it, but not as much as you do. But anyway, that was the movie that I first really noticed him in. And he's one of those guys that I couldn't, for the longest time, really couldn't figure out why I was kind of drawn to him, even though he's like, I don't really like you, but I notice you in everything I see you in. So this is one where I really like him, and it kind of makes me look forward to seeing him in the future.
Poe reminded me a lot of, because, you know, this movie had a lot of comparisons to A New Hope. He reminds me so much of, like, the character Biggs from A New Hope, but he just seems more fleshed out than Biggs was. We saw him so little. He's a lot more likable. You get a little bit more of his personality because you kind of see him on his adventure at the beginning of the movie. I really liked him as well, but I think the performance is really what sold that for me more than what the character was doing. I think as a full all-around character, I'm like Aaron. I like Rey the best. She was just everything that she was in. Everything she did, I couldn't take my eyes off of her. Like you guys said, she's beautiful. She's a strong character, and like Aaron said, it's not beat over your head that she is a strong female character. Although it bugged me a little bit that they did like three times. Like, yeah, I'm a woman and I don't need a man's help. Like it was beat in my head a little bit. Like, don't hold my hand three times, and then when Finn goes to save her, then, oh, she doesn't need saving. We get it. She's a strong female character and doesn't need a man's help. I felt like that was overdone a little bit. But I just loved watching everything that she did. She's got a great smile. She gravitated towards Finn, and there wasn't like this it wasn't complicated with like a love story. They just cared about each other and you don't know why. And it was just,
oh, crazy. I think he wants to get all up in there, but she's definitely, hey, we're buddies. We're pals. We'll see what happens. But right now we're pals. You coward. You 75% of the movie coward.
For me, you know, as much as I liked Poe, and I do, I think he's the new Wedge Antilles, but hopefully with a lot more screen time.
Screw that. He's a new Han Solo, man. I think he's more Han Solo than
Finn. Well, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I could see that. And Rey, I mean, she's just fantastic. But for me, it was Finn. I was shocked in how much I liked his character. And a lot of the reason I did is because of the dialogue they gave him. His character was so funny.
Mm-hmm, he was.
I mean, in Star Wars, while it has some humor every now and again, is really not known for its humor. This movie was funny. I mean, genuinely laugh out loud at times, funny. And a lot of those lines were delivered by Finn, whether it was the, you know, keep it together, and Poe's like, I am keeping it together. No, I'm talking to myself. or lines similar. He just brought an honesty to this movie. I mean, this is a guy who is not used to being, you know, a hero or in the middle of the action. He was a sanitation engineer apparently for a while.
Yeah, he's
so
a janitor.
This isn't,
he's a janitor.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't his world, and suddenly he's thrust into it, and he's just trying to hold on for dear life like anybody would. And I loved that honesty. I love that humor, and I can't wait to see more about that character as the films go on.
Just use the Force. Han's like, it's not how this works. It's not how any of this works.
I got a question. If he's just a janitor, what was he doing on that attack mission?
That was his first mission, is what he said. if I heard him right.
A stormtrooper.
Yep, that was his first deal.
Well, how does that work? You like work your way up the ranks? You go from toilet cleaning duty to
Look like HR for yeah. First Order? I don't know. Let's just all assume that's the rank. That's how you rise up the ranks. First, you're toilet and cleaning. Next, you're shooting.
Everybody starts somewhere, Scott. Next movie, he might be a full-fledged Jedi Master. We don't know what happens with these things. He works hard.
I do know that when the stormtroopers came out of those landing craft and actually shot a couple people down, there were people in my audience who were clapping like, yeah, they're actually hitting people.
Yep. We're not missing. Oh, man. Speaking of the stormtroopers, not to jump ahead, but when Kylo Ren like loses his mind and the stormtroopers like start walking toward him and then turn around and walk back.
Oh, so funny.
I couldn't stop laughing. It was one of the funniest things.
They're like, yeah, we'll come back later.
I just love seeing character, like actual development of a character, like actual personality in a stormtrooper. I thought was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, older characters also came back. We don't have to pick a favorite, but instead I want to know what you thought about their appearance in the film. Were they given their due? And let's go ahead and leave Han's fate to later. But how did you feel like they were they given everything they should have? Should they have gotten more screen time? Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it was done very well. I think certain characters got more than others, which worked in the context of the story and everything. I think the, one of my favorite things that they introduced wasn't even one of the people. It was actually the Millennium Falcon, where, they're running for one ship and they're like, nah, that piece of junk. You don't really see it. If you're looking for it, you can catch a glimpse of it, but the first viewing, you're not really looking for it. And then all of a sudden, bam, oh, that one blows up. So let's take the junk. And then you see that, you see the Falcon sitting there. But
that
it
got
was,
me too, by the way. I had
that one caught me off guard.
I should have seen that coming, and I didn't at all.
What a piece of junk!
And but as I like Han Solo in it, kind of being the main veteran, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Leia was. They had a good amount of her, but I'm. For the most part, I think this was, like I said earlier, this is a good handoff and good transition movie. I think we can kind of phase out most of them. I think you should probably still keep the droids. I think it's to some capacity you could probably still use them. I mean, R2 and C-3PO have kind of been, they're kind of like a thread woven through all of these. And I kind of would like to see them continue that, although BB-8 may kind of crowd that a little bit. But this was done very well. And of course, Chewbacca is as lovable as ever.
He was even more lovable in this one. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that doesn't look like he's gotten older.
I don't know. He seemed a little slower.
His hair was a little grayer. Maybe
he needed to put a comb through it or something.
Yeah, a little bit. He got a little nappy.
We're going to have to see more Luke, though, right? I mean, that has to happen.
Well, at least now we know why he's not in any of the trailers.
Yeah.
There's not enough of him in the film to put in a trailer.
That's honestly...
without ruining the whole reveal at the end.
That's exactly what I thought was going to happen because he wasn't in the trailers, honestly. Everybody was like, well, he's going to be dark. And I'm like, no, he's just not in it. He's going to be like the transition character or whatever. I think Luke could have done with a better reveal. I think they kind of whiffed it on that one. Personally, my thinking was, when Rey takes when that lightsaber flies into her hand and she wills it into her hand, I would have preferred to see Luke, that fly into Luke's hand to some degree, and he just showed up because he felt a disturbance in the Force or something like that. But I thought that was a little too stretched out, a little too thin for me. It wasn't like a, wow, that's exciting, as it was for some people. So that one felt a little...
Because you knew what you were going to see before you saw it.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew exactly what was going to happen, and that kind of... I'm like, all right. And then it took so long to get there. She's climbing all the steps, and I'm like, we know where this is going, JJ. Let's speed it up, man. And so that part I didn't love. But everything else I did. I thought it was great seeing Han Solo back, even though as soon as it starts, because Harrison Ford has made it abundantly clear his whole career, he's not a fan of Han Solo. So I knew he wasn't going to do much more than the one movie. So you kind of expect something's going to happen to him. I kind of hope we get a little bit more of he and Leia's relationship. I feel like that was kind of skimmed over.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the one thing in terms of the returning characters I would have liked a little bit more of. And I'm the first one to say I didn't want the old characters back. I kind of wanted a whole new story. But if they're going to be back, I would have liked more on Leia and Han. I felt like that was kind of brushed over for me.
Can I go back to the Luke reveal for just a second? Because there's one nitpick I had with that too. I actually kind of liked that it ended that way, that we finally see Luke and then we just kind of get roll credits. But it bugged me just a little bit that, you know, he turns around, you see the beard, all right, it's Luke. And then he pulls the hood off. And if you watch it a second time, watch what he does with his hands when he pulls the hood off. I swear to God, it's like he's going, ta-da, it's me. Like, his hands, like, go way far to the right, like, a little bit too much flair when he does
too
it.
Too much flair? What's up, guys?
Panache.
Yes, it's like,
hey!
Because if it were really him, he would just slowly pull the hood off. It wouldn't be like, ta-da.
It reminded me of when Obi-Wan in the first film pulled his hood back. He did it in kind of a quick, flairish way. And I wonder if Mark Hamill wasn't trying to emulate that.
Maybe, yeah. It was a little,
hey, did y'all happen to notice there was a tombstone of some sort?
Yeah, like he was mourning someone. And I think that was him putting in a tombstone for Han, even though there's no body there, as maybe a way of recognizing his death, but maybe it was somebody else, but it definitely looked like a grave marker.
Well, he would feel it, I would think, right? Because, I mean, you know,
Leia did.
He would feel it through Leia.
What?
Whoa.
What just happened, Scott?
No, like, because Leia was feeling it. He and Leia, their brother and sister, they both had, because Han doesn't have the Force. So if something happens to Han, he's not going to feel it just because there's not a disturbance in the Force. He would feel Leia's pain.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you.
Now, as far as the droids are concerned, R2-D2 and C-3PO have really kind of been the end-all and be-all of those in these films, but now they've got this plucky new guy to contend with, BB-8. Does the newcomer stand a chance of getting in our hearts the way the metallic Laurel and Hardy have, or will R2 and C-3PO always be top-notch?
I think they got a contender. BB-8's pretty darn cute. It's so weird that he has almost just as much character, even though he doesn't have a voice like C-3PO, but he still has, he almost feels like a younger version of R2-D2.
Yeah, like, he's like definitely got that kid kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. When he does his little like thumbs up thing with a lighter.
Oh God, I laughed my ass off.
That was so good. It was just when he so looks quick at, and unexpected.
Looks at Rey, looks at Finn, looks at Rey. Looks at Finn.
Like, what do I do? What do I do?
It's like, argue, you know, going between parents. Like, who do I side with? It was really funny. I think he's good. I had a question, though, about C-3PO because they kind of glossed over it. Why does he have a red arm?
Well, I think, you know, in the first films, he had one silver leg. And so I think in this movie, they're like, well, we'll give him, a gold leg, but now a red arm. Just as a way of kind of carrying that mismatched part thing forward, but in a different way.
And give you guys a little bit of, well, you guys can figure it out, you know, and patch in your own history kind of thing.
Right.
That's the way I understood it.
Gotcha.
I love BB-8. I think I like BB-8 way more than C-3PO by the end of the movie, honestly. Just fun, and he somehow they got personality out of him. And I'm always impressed with that when they do it right, because R2-D2 is the only one that really seems to have a personality that I understand, which is funny since all he does is go beep, beep, beep or whatever. But BB-8, man, really seemed like a little kid robot and just adorable. You know, this is kind of what George Lucas was trying to do with the prequels, was establish a personality and kids' toys and go more for kids so that they'd have something to love too of their own, that it just didn't ever seem to pan out in the prequels. And this nailed it. I mean, the kids loved it in the audience that I was in. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
I want one.
Yeah,
it's just fun to watch, yeah, too. Just the design is so clever and ingenious.
Just rolling around, scootering through the desert, and they actually have the trail following him, and I'm like, oh, he's so cute.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's an actual working thing. I mean, they built a practical, mm-hmm, you know, I mean, of course, it's not a robot, but I mean, it actually works. The head stays on top and moves a little bit as it rolls. It's pretty ingenious. I read that Bill Hader contributed to the vocal performance of BB-8, which I thought was, you know, I don't hear it, but if Bill Hader's involved, I'm a fan. So,
no, no, it sounds just like Bill Hader. I mean, when he's beeping, it just sounds like Hader. Yeah, it's the first thing I thought of, actually.
But yeah, BB-8 definitely, I think, is the new robot love that we're all going to be. We're all going to have little affairs with.
Were you guys missing R2 and C-3PO throughout?
No, I didn't. I thought I would, especially considering how long it took for those characters to show up. But there was so much else going on. There almost wasn't time.
Well, plus we saw so much of them in the prequels to annoying fashion. That whole bit with 3PO losing his head in episode 2 and getting out of battle droid. And, you know, I think they did a good job of keeping that somewhat limited, you know, still have an appearance, still have an important mark in the film, but not just an overabundance of it. I mean, they were a pivotal role in the New Hope for sure. And I think BB-8 was kind of taking over the reins of that. I mean, that's kind of the same story, really.
Yeah, it's the exact same story. It's just a bigger Death Star, you know.
Now, heroes are only as memorable as the villains they go up against. And in the past, we feared Darth Vader and the Emperor, that they would win the day. But now it's this First Order and Kylo Ren, along with Captain Phasma, General Hux, and Supreme Leader Snoke. Do they seem to you as credible a menace as the Empire was? And are there any past villains that you'd like to see in these new films, Aaron?
No. In terms of a credible as a menace, no, I don't at all. When it comes to Snoke, I think that's more of a kind of like the Emperor was in A New Hope. It's just teasing a future. Mm-hmm. So I could see something more coming from him. So as of right now, no, not so much. Hux and Phasma and stuff, they were really just minor discrepancies. They weren't even really characters. So, you know, you might have shiny armor. It doesn't make you a character. And there really wasn't much from that I got. Kylo Ren, I know people are either that they love him or hate him for obvious reasons. He just, you know, I don't understand why he's even bothering with the mask other than to emulate Grandpa. To me, that just seems weird. The voice was really annoying me. I really didn't like the Kylo Ren voice at all. But as a character, like once he took the mask off and Adam Driver was really, you know, acting, I liked that they had a villain with real mythos, you know, with real character and depth. And there's a story behind it that we don't have all of the pieces yet. And he obviously is conflicted. I really liked that he's conflicted as opposed to I'm just all the way evil. And so he grew on me. He didn't, like, as the movie started, I'm like, okay, this is kind of like a Darth Vader ripoff. And then as you get on, it really, the character comes together and it works great for me once the mask comes off. Mask goes on, I'm kind of annoyed.
See, I felt a little bit different. I liked him when he had the mask on. I mean, I am with you that the voice was a little bit bothersome, but I think on my second viewing, I'm curious to see if that's still going to be a bother to me or not, or if I'm going to get used to it. I kind of felt like when his mask was off, I think they were trying to remind you of Dark Anakin from Episode 3 a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I actually did like that because it made you feel like Kylo Ren wasn't a Jedi Master yet. He wasn't the supreme Jedi guy. He was weak. He was still learning. He was still, I don't want to say in training, but he's still like trying to figure it out. I mean, obviously he's all evil. There's no chance of him coming back to the good or anything like that.
Slow down. I think there's still a chance.
Yeah, I mean,
how many people did Vader kill and he still came back?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he blew up millions or billions or something. How many people are on Alderaan? A lot.
Hey, as long as you say you're sorry.
Yeah, but the difference is that in Jedi, it was his son that brought him back, and we've already lost that family aspect.
No, mom's still around. Maybe a sister. We don't know. Or a cousin.
Yeah, possibly.
And he seems to have a sense of the girl. Like, he seems to have a sense of she's important to him for some reason. Because he's always, there was some kind of like, what do you mean the girl? And this, you know, and when he sees her, he could easily have just killed her, but he saved her and stuff. So yeah, he senses something with her more than just, I think, the Force.
The familial aspect.
Exactly.
Could be.
Possibly.
Right.
Now, do you think that, these movies have always not, in A New Hope, it seemed coincidental that these droids would land on Tatooine, where Luke just happens to be. But within, when you add in this element of the Force perhaps being a guiding energy, you can understand why these, this is why the Tantive IV was attacked above Tatooine, and this is why the droids escaped and why they found Luke Skywalker. It was all just the Force kind of moving things in that direction. Mm-hmm. You could say the same thing in this. I mean, why was this battle taking place over Jakku, where Rey just happened to be? And if Rey is a relative of either a sister or a cousin to Kylo Ren, then is it coincidence? Is it the Force guiding? And are you okay with it if it is coincidental? Does that throw you out at all? Or is it that just something you accept as a part of Star Wars?
It's fate, destiny. I mean, some people want these movies to be art. I don't need them to be art. It's a pulpy action adventure serial throwback to films of the 40s and 50s. And that's exactly what it's doing. Yes, they could call it Episode 7 coincidence, and that would be fitting, because everything in here is such a random coincidence that it's almost ridiculous. But you know what? So was every one of the other movies. It's just, you just kind of got to go with it, or don't go with the series at all. You know?
Yeah. There's so many coincidences. I mean, the fact that Han stumbles across the Millennium Falcon.
Well, they don't stumble. He says in the movie that the Millennium Falcon had a beacon on it, that once they got into orbit, it was easy to spot, and that's how they found them.
Yeah, because he made the comment, if we could track you, then anybody else can track you.
It just makes you wonder, well, how long have they been trying to track down the Millennium Falcon, and how close were they when they did to make it there so fast? Or was there a period of time that went by that we just didn't, get a little 5 hours later kind of subtitle?
I think it's still pretty ridiculous coincidence.
But it was a fast, like, whoa, he got there quick.
Yeah. He couldn't find it on the planet, but he was able to.
Oh, yeah. Once it gets in the orbit, Scott,
Well, when it's on the planet, it was powered down.
Plus, he said that he told Chewie, I knew we should have checked the Western region or something like that. So they weren't even looking at Jakku for the Millennium Falcon.
Right. Yeah, they wrote some lines to explain that coincidence. Doesn't make it sensible, but it's there.
They at least try. They recognized there's a bit of a coincidence here.
Guys, this is probably going to be a reach. Well, write like three lines. All right, good. Star Wars, we're kind of covered.
What about you, Brian and Scotty? What do you think about the bad guys in this?
For me, Captain Phasma was distracting because all I hear is the girl from Game of Thrones. That's all I hear. There was no mystery there. And she just seemed kind of hokey.
I was bummed we didn't see her without her mask off. I was waiting for that to happen. I mean,
yeah,
it's a pretty big talent just for to have her for a voice. And obviously her physical stature, but.
And O'Ren Ishii or whatever his name is. I just thought he was
a Kill Bill character you just pulled out.
Yep.
He just seemed like a spoiled brat. I did like the I'm struggling with the light. You're sensing the light and please stop that. Help me stop that. Suppress it. Whatever. So I did like that aspect, but the voice, I hated the voice. Didn't like the mask. You know, at least Darth Vader had a physical reason for wearing the mask, where this is just, I don't know, it looks like some sort of duck-billed platypus or something here. To me, he was just ridiculous. I didn't like him. I don't want to say at all, but I just thought he was a poor villain. Hmm. And Snoke.
Snoke.
A dumb name. I like the physical aspect, the seeing this giant, character sitting there like, oh, wow, where's where's this guy come from, and how many of more of them are, you know, look like this guy? So,
see, I didn't him at all. He looked like something out of Lord of the Rings instead of Star Wars to me.
Well, it was played by Andy Serkis, so
yeah,
there is that tie-in. So, Hux just looked like another one of the, you know, British military people that they cast or something in these in these movies. He didn't bother me at all.
He was supposed to be the parallel to Tarkin, right? Moff Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the impression you guys got?
Yeah.
And I felt it was almost wasted to have him there because I actually liked the performance, even though it was a little overacted. But that scene when he fires the weapon and you see like the reflection of the energy beam coming out and you can see it in his eyes, I really like that. And yes, he was overacting, but I think that is, I was okay with that because that's what those characters did in the original trilogy. They all were just acting like above their rank almost, the way that they acted. And to me, that was fitting as far as going back to the originals. I kind of liked it.
Oh, yeah. I do want to add the catching the light, stopping the lightning bolt. That was really cool.
Oh my God,
the Fraser
bolt. Awesome.
That was an awesome scene.
Like, yes, it was.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That blaster bolt.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That brings me to the point I was going to make. Because of that blaster bolt, when he stops it in midair and he's choking people, and he obviously has a good collection of the Force, right? Like, he has a good mastering of it. He's not a master, but he has it down.
He's got skills.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So at the end, you know, a lot of people are complaining because when he faces down Orenishi, when he faces down Rey, and she suddenly, you know, basically has a great understanding of the Force. She has a strong lightsaber battle. She fends him off. She actually uses the Force to keep him out of her mind. I mean, she obviously has a connection, and she hasn't had any training, which some people are complaining about. Hey, if you watch A New Hope, Luke didn't really have any training, and he blew up the Death Star. I'm just saying. So my question to you is, do you think because of how the movie ended with her getting – with him having obviously so many powers, and I know he was injured, but still, and she came back and basically whooped his bum, do you think she's more than we've seen in the series so far? Like, she's more than just a Jedi. Like, she might – I know we've said this in every movie in the series, but she actually is the one to bring balance to the Force.
Like, she's the one that they thought Anakin was the one to bring balance. But
yeah, maybe it's like, actually like her. She's more than just a Jedi. Like, there's, I mean, she has a mastering of the ship. She's kind of like Han and Luke all wrapped up into one, to a degree. Does that make sense?
Could be. I mean, I know that the expanded universe is now no longer applicable. But I know in those books that Luke's son had a great affinity for machines, which they kind of hearkened to Anakin a little bit. Because if you remember, he was building the droid, building the pod racer. He had an affinity for machines as well. She seems to have a bit of that, too, the way she was able to take such command of the Falcon and fly it basically on her own and pull off some pretty sweet moves while doing so. She's definitely a Jedi, and she has got a lot of abilities that have been somehow hidden from her, whether it's through some kind of memory suppression or something else. But someone has purposefully removed a lot of her memories regarding her Force abilities. But as the film goes on, it looks like they keep coming back to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she was able to you know, not only be such a great pilot, but also be able to fight off Kylo Ren, because, you know, maybe in some Jedi training facility where both of them were once upon a time, she probably was pretty capable of whipping his ass there too.
I didn't really get much from it as far as her having missing memories, because she seemed to have some pretty vivid flashbacks of her parents leaving her and a couple of other things. So,
but you never saw their face.
Well, no, I mean, they're obviously setting that up for down the road and stuff. I mean, I get that part of it, but I don't necessarily get, I didn't necessarily get the impression, because she's counting. I mean, she's known for a while. She's making like a zillion tick marks on that, scratching in those tick marks on that wall saying, hey, it's been one more day since Mom and Dad left, and you know, and there's a whole lot of days that's gone by. So, you know, I don't get the impression, and I could be wrong, but I didn't get the impression that she's got suppressed memories or erased memories or anything like that. I just think she just doesn't know what she's capable of.
Yeah, I think it goes a lot further than that, but we'll just have to see the movies as they come out to know for sure.
Absolutely.
As far as I'm concerned, I love the idea of Captain Phasma. I wish they would have utilized her more. General Hux, he's definitely just another Imperial Brit. Nothing special going on there. I'll speak to Kylo Ren more in our next segment, but I like Supreme Leader Snoke.
Snoke.
Snooky.
You keep Snoke. Saying Snook.
Yeah, Supreme Snoke. Leader Snooky.
Snooky, yeah.
Snooky. That would be great if she showed up. I would watch that.
Just some giant orange girl just talking in a bad accent.
I like Snoke because of the mystery that he presents. Is he really this big, or is he a normal sized person and that's just purely a holographic projection making him look so huge? Is he human or is he alien? Is he a Sith or is he not? I mean, he's obviously been training Kylo Ren, so that must mean he's got some Force abilities, but just because you have the Force doesn't mean you're necessarily a Jedi or a Sith. In the Star Wars universe, there are several groups of Force wielders out there that don't classify themselves as Jedi or Sith. They're something else. And with the Knights of Ren, which Kylo Ren is a part of, maybe this Snoke is the person who started that group. So we'll have to find out more. But I will say that I like Kylo Ren a lot. And I, in fact, I liked him even more the second time. The mask I get because of the Knights of Ren being a death cult that worships Darth Vader, they will do whatever they can to emulate him. So a mask with a little voice effect makes sense. But I like him quite a bit, but we'll speak more to him in a minute.
I got a quick question about that, because I'm confused with his involvement. Because is it the First Order? Is that what they're called? Is it First Order? I get that they're trying to, you know, kind of get a resurgence to the Empire, so to speak, or whatever. But why do they care, or why are they allowing Kylo Ren to be on this mission to go murder Luke Skywalker? Why are they okay with that?
I think he's the last remaining Jedi, right? Isn't that why?
Yes. They want to kill off Skywalker because he's the last real threat that stands between them and galactic domination. And by having a dark force, a dark side element to this First Order, that's how they're going to do it. Because you could throw a million stormtroopers at Skywalker, it's not going to do any good. Mm-mm. But throw, you know, a dark sider at him of sufficient power, then you've got a chance. So again, it's one of those things we'll have to discover more.
It seems like Hux is just annoyed with the whole concept of chasing.
Well, I think he is, but Hux also realizes that Supreme Leader Snook is also Snoke. Snoke. Why do I keep going Snook?
I don't know.
Snoke.
I don't know, because they've never said Snook throughout
not
the movie.
Snooky. Hey, little Kylo, why don't you like go get in that freaking ship there and then go get that guy's? Wait, that was more
first
Minnesota.
Off, that's
spot Chicago, on impression.
But that's not Jersey.
Jersey by way of Minnesota.
But anyway, Fargo. Snoke is obviously a Sith or some sort of dark force user when he created this first order. Thank you. Mm-hmm. When he created the First Order, the Force is going to have to be an element of it, whether Hux likes it or not.
And somebody in the group made a comment that wouldn't it be cool if Snoke was actually like Yoda sized?
That would be funny.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. That's
blew him up with the projection just to make him look this big and imposing thing.
But when you meet him, he's about mag size.
He's like the Wizard of Oz, and you take him out. Yeah. I like that.
Now, as with the original trilogy, this universe isn't exactly tripping over with Jedi's. In the originals, it was because Vader and Palpatine had done their best to wipe all of them out. Now it's because apparently Master Skywalker, who had been operating some kind of Jedi Academy, went into hiding after his student Ben Organa Solo went to the dark side and destroyed everything, becoming Kylo Ren. Let's discuss Kylo, why he might have gone bad and about our reactions to him. Killing Han Solo, his father? Brian, comfort me.
Yeah, it's more of a pat on the head than a full on hugging and crying with you. Look, as far as why he may have gone bad, I don't know. Maybe just high expectations, super high expectations from his parents. I mean, you know, his mother's a princess and a general of a rebellion. His dad's one of the greatest heroes in the, you know, in the past 30 years or so, however long before he was born.
That's some pressure. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to live up to those bars, you know? So, and then they ship him off to his uncle's, you know, military school. You know, I mean, he's got a lot of bitterness and anger and he fed into that. So, as far as my reaction to him, killing his father, it's not like it wasn't telegraphed.
Right.
it was foreshadowed, you know, pretty early and stuff. So I don't like it. I actually was thinking, because of this, where everybody was positioned and the number of stormtroopers that were around, I was actually more afraid for Chewbacca than I was Han Solo at that point. Mm-hmm. That would have put me into tears, I think. So I think it's a good way of eliminating some of the old cast. And again, to Aaron's point earlier, he's made it well known that this isn't one of his favorite things to do. So this gets him out of future endeavors. And let's face it. He exactly didn't look very good running around either.
So. I disagree with that. I actually think Harrison Ford looked great. He didn't look like he's 70 whatever years old he is. I mean, he's not spry. I didn't say he was like,
well, no, and it wasn't like he was, you know, like Leia, where it looked like her face had been pulled up 25 times or something.
She had a lightsaber across her head. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Thought it was Deanna, but
nice little thing. I thought Han Solo is probably my favorite character in the original trilogy. And I didn't like that send off. You know, it's one of those things where I think you could, I saw it coming as soon as I figured that he'd probably only be in one movie. I'm like, man, please don't do the martyr death, which I'm sure they're going to do. And they did. So I knew that was coming. I mean, I was sitting with my buddy Tyler and I told him exactly. So he's going to basically face the big bad and he's going to get killed. And you realize that, right? So it's just, it was way too telegraphed, I thought. And plus he's in every freaking commercial. So he's gotta die. I just would have rather had him be sent off a different way. I just didn't feel like it was the right way to send Han Solo off. Now I say that, you know, people were like, well, you're just poo-pooing on it. No, I loved them. I think the movie was a blast. I had a lot of fun with it. That particular character send-off did not work for me. It was not a greatly emotional death like it was for Justin, apparently. It was too obvious, too on the nose. I did like what I will say in opposite, though, is that as he's going down, like after he stabbed him, and he didn't say some quippy line. Like, I know everybody wanted him to say, I love you or something like that. I was glad that he just put his hand in his face like a father, let him know, it's okay, man. It's okay. I loved that moment. That moment I thought was great. And that was all Harrison Ford. That was great. The buildup to it didn't really do much for me. I would have liked Chewbacca to have a better hero moment afterward, too. I don't know. Like, just blow the crap out of about 100 stormtroopers would have been great.
I actually like the fact that he was killed off by his son. I like that part of it because in the previous movies, like Darth Vader rescued Luke and all that, and this is kind of like the opposite of that. I enjoyed that. It felt too quick. I don't know. It felt kind of anticlimactic almost. I feel like he deserved a better send off than that. That character deserved a better send off. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And going back to, I'm sorry, I didn't answer your Kylo Ren, why he went bad. I don't know. I think we'll find out in the next couple of movies. But it seemed to me that he got trained and, you know, just like the Force runs strong in that family, both the light and the dark run strong in that family. So it would make sense, logically speaking, that you have this family dynasty. And while one is a Jedi king, so to speak, like of the good, you know, which is Luke, And you also have Anakin, but once Anakin died, you know, you've kind of lost that, the confliction, you know, the conflicting element where you have the leader of the dark side, and that's where Ben, or was his name Ben?
And Luke actually left his training early also. He just happened to teeter, when he was kind of teetering on the edge, he kind of fell to the light side, whereas Kylo Ren may have just fell to the dark side.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, there's a bit of a tradition in Star Wars of Darksiders seducing Jedi or light side force users over to the dark. It's in one of the recent books that is considered canon. We do learn that the Jedi Academy on Coruscant was actually built on top of a former Sith temple.
I thought none of the books were considered canon.
These new books are canon.
Okay.
Anything published prior to Disney's takeover or buyout is now called legacy. The new books are canon. And they say that the Sith Academy, the Sith Temple, that the Jedi Temple was built on top of, is perhaps one of the reasons why the Jedi were blind to the rise of Palpatine and any of the Dark Force users out there, because that Sith Temple was somewhat blinding them. There have been other stories in the Star Wars universe of dark Jedi, dead Sith, coming back or having some portion of themselves remaining where they're at and then seducing a lightsider. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Snoke, pronounced it right this time.
Good job.
If Snoke hadn't detected Ben, should we call him Ben or just keep calling him Kylo?
I would call him Kylo because I think it's going to confuse people.
Yeah. Could feel Kylo's Skywalker angst, mm-hmm. and worked to secretly tip him over to the dark side. And I think in the future movies and perhaps in books, they'll speak to that more. But we'll have to see. I liked that Han Solo died the way that he did. He didn't die for just any reason. He died for love of his son. And yeah, it was telegraphed. But for me, when it was telegraphed so long, it almost gave me that bit of hope. Like, well, they haven't killed him yet. Maybe. For me, there was always a little sliver of hope that he was going to succeed in what he was doing. And when you saw the look of just that confusion and pain on Kylo's face right before that lightsaber ignited and went through his father's abdomen, I thought maybe he'll do it. And of course he didn't, and he got killed. But he did it for his son, and it was for family. Plus, just as Obi-Wan's death was a great motivator for Luke, I think Han's death proved to be a great motivator for Finn and for Rey and somewhat for Chewbacca.
I'm just saying, like, if I know my son's switched to the dark side, he's become evil. I know how long a lightsaber is roughly.
I'll take him out.
I'm not getting any closer than roughly what the lightsaber distance is. We're not it out until he puts that thing down.
Yeah. If it was Amanda, you'd go up to her. But we know how you are with your son.
Oh, you realize he loves Star Wars and you're just like trying to ruin his day. And he loves episode one, by the way. He loves episode one. That's a true testament as to how the different generations, you know, when you saw Star Wars, makes a huge difference as to what you love about it. Because he loves that first trilogy, the prequel trilogy. And where a lot of people will hate on it, because that's the first thing he saw. That's the first one he saw. So, I mean, you know, it really matters. It does matter.
I blame bad parenting on that right there.
That's true. Fair enough.
He had a father who cared. He had seen A New Hope at the proper age.
That's true. Yeah. If he didn't have such a
some bitch of a dad.
Yep.
All right. Now, for me, the marketing department did a great job in tricking me into thinking that Finn was going to be the new Jedi. I never once assumed Rey was going to be a Jedi. It was always Finn with the lightsaber, whether it's in pictures or in the trailers. But now it's much more likely that Rey's, you know, is either the daughter of Han and Leia or of Luke and some unknown woman. She will be the Jedi. Finn will probably be more of just the unpowered human sidekick element to the thing while Rey chooses to be the hero. But Finn's character really doesn't have much of a backstory to really speculate about while Rey's does. So let's dive into it a little bit. We've spoken somewhat to it. Who do we really think she is? And conversely, are we looking for connections that maybe don't really have to be there?
If you ask me, I think it's more about what I want her to be or who I want her to be. I want her to be Han and Leia's daughter, because mm-hmm. to me that you're getting both sides of, if it's Luke's daughter, she's going to be the daughter of Luke and somebody else that we don't know, that we're not familiar with. But if she's the daughter of Han and Leia, then she's got the Force and she's got the Han Solo. You get the mixture of two, and then Uncle Luke is going to be training Rey, and that to me sounds like just an awesome setup for episode 8. That's who I want her to be. Am I alone in that, or are you leaning more towards wanting her to be Luke's daughter?
I want her to be like Anakin. I want her to be a Jesus,
a virgin.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. I don't want it to be, I mean, she can be part of the lineage because maybe her mother was a distant cousin or something, but I don't want her to be Luke or Han or Leia's kid. I want her to be something new, something different.
There is a galaxy far, far and away that has so many different people and humanoids and all sorts of alien, all sorts of other things that have had the Force.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they all have to stem from Luke's lightsaber?
Well, I see what you did there.
Boom.
That's an excellent point, right?
Well, but George Lucas is, of course, he's no longer in charge of all this, but he's always said that these movies are about the Skywalkers. And so because of that, I think everything that goes on in these films in some way revolves around whether it's Anakin or Luke or Leia or their potential children. This is while it is a galactic drama, it's also very much a family drama.
But the whole reveal that, you know, Luke, I am your father, that has cemented itself into pop culture for the last 30 years. It's not a surprise anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that for the most part hadn't been done, at least on that level. So do something different. You've got this collection of the greatest creative minds in the world as far as movies go and storytelling. Make something else up.
Mm-hmm.
Just surprise the crap out of us.
How about the Emperor's granddaughter?
There you go.
How about that? Then you still have a connection, but it's not the connection everybody thinks. Like, you know, he had to have like a harem, right? I mean, he was the freaking Emperor. I'd have a harem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, lightning bolts coming out of his fingertips. That's the kind of connection I would prefer to see, as opposed to the obvious one that we're all thinking, which is it's got to be Luke's kid.
So, that's a great idea.
Because
before that, he was a senator, and you know how senators are.
Exactly.
Politicians just can't help but stick it in things.
See, I'd have a problem with Luke simply because the fact that Luke has obviously, even in Return of the Jedi, he was leading that monk-like lifestyle. And it was well established in the prequels that the Jedi are abstinent. They are like monks. So they aren't getting it on. So there's no reason to think that Luke would, especially if he's going to lead this Jedi Academy and everything else. So instead of that connection, and instead of the Han Solo connection, let's go a different route. Let's do something. That's what I hope. I mean, it'll probably end up being Luke's kid, but...
Well, but that's why I asked, you know, are we looking for connections that don't really have to be there? And I agree. She doesn't have to be related to the Skywalkers. Kylo Ren already is. I think he kind of covers that continuing Skywalker story. So mm-hmm. Rey can be freed up to be something new and unique to herself.
Now, what about Finn, though? We're really kind of glossing over him. Does anybody think he has a connection to anyone else?
No.
I don't think he's Luke's kid.
Okay. Yeah, some people are alluding to maybe he's Lando's. I don't know how that would be possible, but he was
like,
picked
Lando's
from his
family.
He's the only black guy in the galaxy, apparently. Universe. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, him and Mace Windu, but, you know.
Oh, yeah,
Mace Windu. I don't think they made too many babies together.
It's a new generation.
But that's a whole lot of swag. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But that's a whole lot of swag.
That's right too there. Much swag for one human.
Way too much.
But Finn doesn't have an inkling of the Force at all, right? He's not of that lineage, right?
Yeah, I don't get any Force at all.
No. So he couldn't be from Mace Windu's lineage, for sure, right?
Well, there's nothing for sure. We're one movie into a three movie series, so I mean, there's a lot of things it could be. He didn't seem to have any understanding or real feeling for the Force, so I would say no, probably not. He's more like, maybe he is just a stormtrooper. Like, maybe this is just a, look, they're not all clones. There are some people that were just taken and raised to be a soldier. They don't know anything else, but then they realize that the killing is bad and they want to defect. And so basically he's a deserter and he becomes a hero. That could be his arc. But I would be surprised if there's no connection somewhere.
The dude needs to work on his cardio, though. Every scene, he's out of breath. He's sweaty. He's panting like crazy.
You run through that desert.
Yeah, you in a stormtrooper outfit.
He wasn't running through the desert the whole movie. Watch it again and see how many times he's panting and out of breath.
Let's see everybody
else is fresh-faced.
I think a lot of that was emotion, though, too, because he was struggling with, you know, I'm with this First Order, and I'm
a deserter.
Right. I mean, he basically put a target on his back with this whole army that's after him now.
I liked seeing a character that was legitimately scared of what the Force or what the Empire or whatever they're called, the First Order could do. Because throughout this series, you rarely ever see that. You hear him talk about it, but you never see anybody panic about it. I love that somebody is, man, I left them and I'm scared to death. They're going to kill everybody I love. So I need to get out of here. I need to hide. I don't want to be a hero. You know, usually in these movies, they just say, I don't want to be a hero, but then they do everything that's heroic. He's a coward for 75% of this movie. I love that aspect of his character.
Because really, most of us in this situation would probably have a little cowardly stripe.
Absolutely.
Running down our back, because this is not something we normally do, as a matter of course.
No, I would wet myself, and I would hide in a broom closet somewhere. That's all I would do until I learned how to use
scrubbing toilets.
Exactly. There you go.
I just wait for Brian to come along with his paintball gun and save me.
Mm-hmm. His camo Jedi robe. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think we're all kind of agreed. We hope that Rey isn't the daughter of one of these pre-existing characters. Let's hope that she's something else. Maybe she was someone that Kylo had affection for when they were training, and that's why they were separated when Kylo went bad. Maybe they hid her because he was going to take her or something. Who knows? But she just doesn't have to be a Skywalker.
Let me ask you in regards to Rey and Finn. They obviously Finn has a crush on her, right? I mean, I would say we can all agree.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah,
we all do.
She's adorable. Yeah. But she seems to either she's not realizing yet or she's very this is just friendship at this point. Do you guys want this to be a relationship in the future movies, or do you like to see them more as friends?
Friends.
Okay. Friends. I don't go to Star Wars for the love connection.
Well, we did in Empire. That was a pretty big pivotal part in Empire Strikes Back.
People still say "I love you, I know," man, everywhere.
Yeah.
I want to see their relationship develop. Whatever it becomes, but I want to see these characters sticking together and continuing these adventures so we can kind of see where that relationship goes organically.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I want to see him hook up with Poe.
All right. Sure. Why not? I mean, they're both attractive men, and hey, it's a new generation. Let's do something.
That was a pretty intimate hug they did at the X-Wing fighter, I'm just saying.
He was. I think he patted him on the butt a little bit, too.
I think he gave him a good game. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
All right, now I had expected at some point in this film to reference the prequel trilogy, either by a location, some kind of mention. And at one point, General Hux does mention clone troopers, that perhaps we should go back to those as opposed to Captain Phasma's stormtroopers that she's been training. But it's kind of in passing and not much more said about it. Do you guys think that there were some missed opportunities here to bring that prequel trilogy into it? And what elements from the prequels would you have liked to have seen?
Man, that is a really tough question. Especially just rewatching the prequels. I would almost say episode 7 is just as much a bridge in the gap of the generations as it is an apology for the prequels. And I know it sounds harsh because a lot of people love those movies, but man, it's just, it. You're right. It really carries no remnant from the prequels. I mean, the prequels were, I feel like George Lucas was trying, and I legitimately think he was really trying to tell a more deeply layered story, and it just didn't work. Like, maybe he's just not that kind of writer. Maybe it doesn't work for him. So I think when J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan were writing this one, they wanted to stay as far away from that aspect of it as possible, because there's been so much disdain for it over the years. And
but do you think this could have been a way for them to, if they had referenced in some way the prequels, to maybe kind of retroactively improve your memory of the prequels by, I don't even know if I'm phrasing this right, where it makes sense as a question. There are sometimes when you see a film in a series of films that it can, because of what it contains, it can make previous films seem better, mm-hmm. because now maybe you have more of an understanding or something. Mm-hmm. This may have been able to do something like that by either having some location like Naboo show up, or, you know, maybe see some Gungans, I don't know. But there could have been a way that they could have given the prequels maybe a little more heft and whatnot if they had referenced it a little more. I guess that's where I was kind of going with this.
I think they might in the next two. I do think it could have used a little bit more. Like some mention of, I mean, they did say Grandpa, so I guess Anakin is technically from the prequels, but man, there really wasn't anything that I could point to other than the brief mention of clones. It's almost like they were trying like hell to avoid it.
Did mm-hmm. you guys ever, I always kind of wish that the stormtroopers were the clones. I know like that it's been proven that wasn't the case, but I always like secretly wanted the clones from the Clone Wars to be stormtroopers, and then they just keep making them, and that's what the stormtroopers are.
Weren't they, but in the prequels they were clones. Stormtroopers were clones.
No, but he means in the original trilogy,
yeah,
the stormtroopers of the Empire were not. They were conscripts or volunteers who joined the Empire to become stormtroopers. Okay. Clones kind of went out of fashion after the Clone War ended.
Gotcha. Right. Okay.
And then it'd be hard to pull off because of the actors associated. And don't get me wrong, I love Finn's performer. Or was it John Boyega? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I loved his performance, but in my mind, it would always been cool if he would have been like a rogue clone instead of just, you know, just a random guy that got recruited or drafted or whatever. And it's actually that he looks just like, I don't know the actor's name that played the original clone that played,
Boba Fett.
Not Boba Fett.
Oh, Jango Fett.
Jango Fett. Fett. Yeah.
Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Boba Fett. No, you know, I've always liked that the stormtroopers were just regular dudes. When the prequels came out and you see these clones that are being raised and trained in this factory on, God, I don't even remember what the planet's name was. They seemed a little too prepared. They seemed a little too sharp. I like my stormtroopers a little more, can't hit the broadside of a barn, hitting their heads on doors as they go through entranceways.
That's
so anyway, were there any other elements that maybe they could have brought in, or would you like to see brought in later films?
Not really. I mean, other than I want Rey or Daisy Ridley's character to be, you know, spawn the same way, where she's, you know, from an asexual mother that just never, I'm a virgin. I don't know how this
can happen. Immaculate conception.
Yeah, thank you. I couldn't find the words. I think that would be a cool connection in itself. So that's the only connection I can think of. I wish I could say I thought of those movies fondly.
Those prequel movies were before, I mean, this is a continuation of a little bit down the road, but a continuation of 4, 5, and 6. So those prequels happen, you know, 30 or so years before, whatever the time frame is.
About 40 or 50.
Mm-hmm. Right. Before, you know, episode 4, 5, and 6. So there's not a whole lot there to reference.
Well, there's still some of the locations that could have worked. I think it would have been interesting if maybe there were still a couple of those clone from the clone troopers, maybe walking around doing other things now that they're out of a job. I don't know, but I want to see these nine films, which it eventually will be, as one whole tapestry. Mm-hmm. And right now it kind of feels like there's a bottom third that really doesn't have a lot for the second, third, thirds. It seems a little disjointed, like these later six films are more of a unit and these first three are just kind of.
Well, a lot of the locations in the prequels were highly populated areas and there were Jedi all around. So when you've got one Jedi that's left and he's in hiding somewhere, there's not a whole lot of reasons to visit Coruscant, mm-hmm. right, or some of these other locations. So I'm fine with it. I didn't miss it at all. It didn't affect my viewing and enjoyment of it at all.
I think it will happen though, because Finn was plucked from Coruscant. So, I mean, I would think we might go back there in a future movie, right?
Could be.
Maybe.
No, and I'm sorry. Go on, Scotty.
I was gonna kind of go back to the original question. You know what I would like to see in the new coming up movies, especially because Rey is good with a bow staff. That's her kind of like her weapon before she picked up the lightsaber. Mm-hmm. I would like to see her learn the way of the double sided lightsaber, like Darth Maul's.
I never thought of that, but damn, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that because the way she fought with that lightsaber, if you watched it, was very much the way someone who uses a bow fights, where it's more thrusting and less slicing. And she did a lot of thrusting with that lightsaber.
Speaking of those lightsaber battles, you know what I loved about that whole end scene there in the snow is that the prequel, like episode 3, the fight between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin Skywalker, as awesome as that lightsaber battle was, it just felt like a very highly choreographed dance instead of a fight. The lightsaber fights in this felt like this is what people with a lightsaber would actually look like. It's not as much flair. It was really like a struggle, you know, to try to get in a hit or just it felt more real than anything.
It felt more messy.
Life and death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sorry, I've been waiting to use that.
Whoa, sorry. I didn't realize.
Excuse me while I wrote this thing out.
I was getting that excited. Now, let's pull back a little bit. How did you guys feel about the overall story? Was it too similar to A New Hope? Was it satisfying overall, Brian?
I think there was a lot of similarities to A New Hope. And for me, I kind of felt like there was a whole lot of story that was lacking. It was just one action sequence. It was just enough to kind of to join all these really good action sequences. If anything did decrease my enjoyment from this movie, it was there was lack of originality with the story.
Yeah, and they just swapped out a lot of the names. Instead of the Empire, it's the First Order. Instead of Darth Vader, it's Kylo Ren. You know what I mean? But
I got through most of it except for the Death Star, the bigger Death Star. That one was, I'm like, come on, we couldn't think of anything else? Like, really? And yes, I realize there's that line. Oh, it's just a bigger Death Star. Yeah, that doesn't excuse it. We had the Death Star in like two of the three movies in the original trilogy.
Not working for these guys.
Yeah, let's do something else. And you kill it the exact same way. And I say this, it was a huge nitpick of mine. It doesn't detract from me from enjoying the film. Still love the film. Had a blast. But I can tell you, especially because I just rewatched that original trilogy. Watching them in order, like if you watch 1 through 9 at some point, which we know we're all going to do, I think it's going to be a problem then, because it's like, okay, could you think of any other possible plot device except a kind of Death Star? Death Star planet. That's all it was. And I didn't like that aspect of it. A lot of repetitive, but I still love the characters enough. And the fact that Ridley, we actually have probably, in my opinion, the best actor in the entire franchise thus far. In terms of the new actors that were in the franchise, I think she really won me over. So it really didn't matter where the story went, because the characters, the destiny, all that stuff is what matters in a Star Wars movie, and it worked.
I like the bridging of it, and is I feel exactly the same way you do, that it was a little annoying, but it didn't detract from my enjoyment of the film at all. I still had just as much fun as if I hadn't seen this, that story before. I'm looking very much forward to episode 8, where hopefully it's going to be all original. It's all brand new stuff. I'm okay with this springboard.
So you don't want to see Ridley like jumping on Mark Hamill's back through the through the forest or anything?
No, and him start talking like Yoda or something.
Yeah. Found me, you have.
It was really similar to A New Hope, but I'm okay with that because this film, while it was, you know, definitely made for all fans, I think this was an opportunity, and Disney saw it, to bring in some new young fans who may have never seen any of the Star Wars. And so this was going to be their first.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I feel like if this was your first Star Wars movie, you got a really damn good movie. Mm-hmm. And the similarities are there so that maybe when you talk about it with your father, you're, even though you're talking about different movies, you're still talking about similar themes and similar thematic elements. And that can help make that conversation more interesting and more enjoyable. I don't know if I could have been much happier with how this thing played out. It was a little rushed in how quickly everything took place, but still thoroughly enjoyed it. So
here's, you know what I was telling a friend, they were like, the story really matters to me, which I don't understand, but like, so how did it affect your enjoyment? And I said, because Jurassic World has been my reference. I think Jurassic World story is really dumb. Like, story-wise, it's dumb, it's repetitive, we've been there. That has nothing to do with that movie in terms of enjoyment, because it's just about dinosaurs rampaging people, and it's a lot of fun. This is exactly what everything the prequels were not, which is, it is a fun movie throughout the movie. There's enjoyable characters, there's the robots, the alien planets, the whatever, even that thing that tells Rey all about her history or whatever. I don't remember the character's name.
Maz.
Yeah, Maz. Yeah. There we go. Even that. Everything in it was fun. And that's what that's exactly what was missing in the prequels, is that there was no fun. This movie is freaking fun. Period. That's it.
So then where do you think that this stands in regards to all of the other films, guys? We've got 7 films now. Is this near the top, near the bottom, middling?
It's definitely near the top for me, but I wouldn't say it's the best of the 7. I have a hard time edging out Empire. I think Empire still stands as my favorite Star Wars movie, just because it covers all the emotions. There's good. It ends on a bad note. It makes you leaves you wanting for more by the end of it. I think it might edge out Jedi for me. I think Force Awakens will be my number 2 after Empire, and then Jedi after that.
Probably number 3 for me. 1 and 2, A New Hope and Empire, or whatever mood I'm in, flip-flop them. But I think it's better than anything with the name Hayden Christensen involved. For
oh,
sure.
Definitely.
And so for me, it's better than the prequels. It's better than Return of the Jedi. It's just hard for me to top, and it's purely nostalgia, but it's hard for me to top the A New Hope or Empire Strikes Back.
Yep, I'm Empire still number 1, followed by Star Wars, then Jedi, then this one, then 3, 2, 1 in the prequels, because the third one, episode 3, I think is actually a good movie, but the other one's not so much. But definitely, it's about number 4 for me.
I would probably give it number 2. You know, Empire, just with the revelation of Darth Vader being his father and the battle with the AT-ATs and the space slug and Boba Fett and everything involved with that was just...
Cloud City.
There's just no topping it. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's just no topping that film. But I think in a lot of ways, this is better than A New Hope. The for me, the best way it's better is that it has no drag. There are no really slow moments that feel slow.
But is that a fair assumption? I mean, because...
Well, granted, when A New Hope came out, it was a different time period.
And it was it created the entire world where this one already has everything already established, so it can just pick up and run.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But even so, I think that this movie's pace of The Force Awakens pacing, its action levels, its humor, and everything else, to me, it moves along at a more entertaining rate than A New Hope did. But I feel like I'm choosing which diamond out of a handful I like best. They're all so damn pretty. They're all, it's hard, but I would definitely say it's number two, maybe number three after A New Hope, depending on my mood that day, kind of like what Brian said. But it's definitely better than any of the prequels were. And while I understand the love that some have for Return of the Jedi, and I have some of that love, this is definitely better than that film was. So there we go.
Oof.
Do you guys have any questions or comments that you want to throw out there before we end it?
What does everybody feel about J.J. Abrams not being part of the movie going forward, or the series going forward, in terms of directing and story writing? He's this is it. He's a one and done. Does that bother you? Are you comfortable with? I think it's Rian Johnson's going to write them, and you know they've got directors lined up. But
well, Rian Johnson is writing and directing the next one, and then Colin Trevorrow or whatever is how his last name is pronounced from Jurassic World. Mm-hmm. I think that movie was mentioned a couple times.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah.
And this, he'll be directing episode 9. So, I like that they're going with different directors. I don't want any one person ever becoming a dictator these films, an overriding voice. I love this idea of bringing in talent and then letting talent do what talent does. And each film will have a continuing story, but will each have their own vibe. And I really look forward to seeing what Rian Johnson's got for the next one.
Oh, I do it. I know a question. The Rogue One that comes out like a year from now, mm-hmm. Star Wars Rogue One. Now mm-hmm. that you've, are you applauding?
Yes, I can't wait to see it.
Such a God. You got the tattoo on your forehead yet? My God, man. The
now this is a standalone, right?
Yes, it's basically if I'm understanding it right, it's telling the story of the people that got the plans for the Death Star before A New Hope, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Bothans, is that what they're called?
Yes.
No, Bothans got the Death Star plans for Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
Okay. So now that we've seen this one, and I mean, I feel like we weren't really too worried about it, but there's a lot of people that were worried about this movie. Is it going to work? Is it not? And now that we know that for the most part, fans seem to think that it worked great. I mean, I don't know. I know only a handful of people that didn't like it. And that's not one of those, everybody I know likes it. Like, seriously, everybody I've talked to, only a handful didn't like it. So does that make you more excited for the next one? Or do you feel like maybe we're just doing too much? Like, one a year for the next 10 years is what we're probably going to get. Is that too much? Do you like this, prefer to have them spaced out a little bit more so you can build up your excitement? What?
If we can get 19 comic book hero movies a year, we can have one Star Wars movie a year. I'm totally fine with that.
Hear, hear.
Okay. Does it get you more excited for this spinoff, basically?
Oh, absolutely. Anything more. So I say that, and I haven't watched like the Clone Wars cartoons or whatever, which I should go back and watch. But, you know, in a movie format, I cannot wait to see more. That's a story that has always intrigued me since those movies came out. So I'm on board 100%. Well,
let me compare it to something that Scott can definitely maybe get a little bit more excited about, even though this isn't necessarily up his specific alley, but the Call of Duty franchise with video games. They've mm-hmm. got one franchise that comes out every other year. They've got a second franchise that comes out in between those years. So mm-hmm. every year you get a new Call of Duty game, and it hasn't done anything to diminish its returns.
But with the Call of Duty franchise, that's something that's more, although there is a story somewhat in that, in the campaign, the bigger draw to a game like that is the multiplayer that people want every year, and they want the new perks and that kind of thing. This is something that's, Star Wars is more about the story and more about the plot and the interaction of the characters. Very few people get excited about Call of Duty just for the, you know, for the the continuing story, so to speak.
Well, Brian,
but I'm not comparing the stories. The main point is that it is something that is most of your other games come out every couple of years or more.
Right.
Call of Duty has a title that comes out every year and people still snatch it up for whatever reasons. I mean, you know, with the Star Wars, some people love it for the nostalgia. Some people love it because it's just, you know, everybody else is going to it. So,
I know Scotty just crapped all over your point, but I get your point, Brian.
Thank you.
I get you. You know, and I do have to go back to the question I asked earlier about bringing in elements of the prequels. If any film could reference those prequels as well as herald what's going to be coming up in the original trilogy, it's this one, because it takes place right in the middle mm-hmm. of those storylines. So I think there's definitely an opportunity for this film to be able to bridge the prequel films into the rest of them. And I can't wait. The talent in front of that camera is phenomenal behind it. I'm so glad that we're going to be getting it. And then episode 7 is a year and a half from now, because it's coming out in May of 2017.
Episode 8, you mean?
Yes, episode 8. And then 9 will probably be in 2 years after that. So I'm just a Star Wars geek in Star Wars heaven right now.
Do you guys want Kylo Ren to be redeemed? Do you want him to follow a similar pattern to Obi-Wan Kenobi? Or I'm sorry, Anakin Skywalker. Or is it impossible for him to be redeemed because, you know, where Alec Guinness was a character we liked, Han Solo is a character we loved. And can you actually, you know, I guess to Scott's point from earlier, can you actually forgive a guy that killed one of the most beloved film characters in history?
You got to go.
Yeah. He's got to go the same way, too.
How so?
A lightsaber through the gut.
So there's no chance of redemption for you. As far as you're concerned, okay?
No.
Nah, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. But if so, make it quick. Don't draw it out. We've had the nod towards I'm struggling with the light. You're already setting it up. I've got a feeling. The way I see it, he's going to turn good at some point. Make it quick. And then, I don't know, have him team up with Rey and Finn or something. Now you've got, you know, these three just kicking ass throughout the universe.
Interesting.
All right. Anything else?
No, other than I think this is like, I just saw that it's made $500 million opening weekend worldwide. $500 million worldwide weekend. Opening weekend. And I'm sure by the time you might listen to this, it's already made like $6 billion. I don't know what the number's going to be, but it's going to do okay.
George Lucas is probably going, you know what? I probably should have asked for a couple more billion.
If there is a chance for any film to top Cameron's Titanic and Avatar, it's this one.
Do you think George Lucas is upset? Like, as a, you know, it's hard to give up your baby. I mean, if we gave up The Hollywood Outsider or somebody else, or Justin, you gave up one of your book properties, that would be very hard to do. Do you think that really weighs on someone, or that it bothers him that he did not get that response with the prequels, but now another filmmaker is getting it? You think is it fair?
Is he a little bitter?
Is it fair even, really? Because he was trying to do something different with the prequels. And I do realize that rewatching them, he was trying to make a more layered story. And I don't think he'll get the respect that he did at least make the attempt, even if he didn't.
Well, did you guys read that article where he was interviewed? He got to see it ahead of time. And then I asked about his reaction, what he thought of it. And his response was, what's that?
He said the fans will love it.
Yeah. Well, the fans will love it. To me, that response just sounds.
But this is bitter. Also the guy that put that. Whenever he released the original three on VHS, he ended up putting CGI characters in movies that weren't there. Like Jabba the Hutt has got a scene with Han Solo for some reason. He also took out the old Anakin Skywalker at the end of Jedi and put in Hayden Christensen.
Right. He's not about what the fans want.
No, I don't care. Wants. I don't care if it's fair or unfair. They're doing something better with it than what he did. So he sold it. He's got I feel no sadness at all for him.
Well, I feel sadness in the fact that what's being lost with everybody praising J.J. Abrams right now is Lucas did create all of this. I mean, this is okay. his. I mean, yes, I realize the prequels were overblown and they didn't work the way that he wanted them to work. And a lot of people have disdain for him, like I said earlier. But he's still, the only reason you're enjoying this one is because of him. And I feel almost bad for the guy.
No, I give all the props in the world for creating this universe. You know, I really do. And I wish that whatever kooky ideas he came up with later on in life to attempt to make it better paid off, because to me, he's one of those Mount Rushmore type people when it comes to Hollywood.
Yep.
that I credit for so many great memories and movie experiences. But the other side of that coin is, I mean, he's like a football coach who's not very good anymore. He just doesn't have it, and he doesn't connect with the general moviegoer nowadays. And unfortunately, that's what you've got to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was your experiences? That's the last thing I want to ask, then I'll shut up. I'm sorry. Your experience, like going open, because we all went opening night, first showing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was each of your experiences with the audience?
Awesome. There was guys in my theater that actually had lightsabers, which I remember one theater was banning those, but apparently mine wasn't. And, you know, I got there. It was a 7 o'clock showing. I got there at 4 o'clock, and the theater was already half full, at least half full.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad I went that early, first off, because there was a group of 8 of us going, and we had to save seats and all that mess. But got a good seat. But before, while we waited, you know, either look at your phone or talk with people around you. And these guys started, they did like a mock lightsaber battle, like right under the screen. There was 3 guys that didn't even know each other, by the way. 2 guys just started a lightsaber duel, and they asked someone else to come in, the perfect stranger.
Wow, that's really cool.
And it was actually a guy from our group that has like a $500 lightsaber. It's like this huge, legit, you can change the crystal and change the color. And then he actually acted it out. This guy actually does LARPing. Are you familiar with what LARPing is? Live action role playing?
Mm-hmm.
Like where they go out in the fields and actually do it. So he's actually like almost an actor, and he actually acted out this whole scene where he let the other guys kill him, and he fell to one knee, turned his lightsaber off, and then died in the middle of the floor. Everyone applauded. It was really cool. I got some of it on video. It's good.
Somebody
just crashed a car.
I hope so.
Somebody with earbuds in their ears just snatched them out.
What about the rest of you?
We had a good time. I mean, it was a reserved seating theater, so we didn't have to worry about saving seats or getting there early. We could just walk in, had them ready to go. There were those leather recliners. So it was a nice experience. There really weren't too many people who were all dressed up, and we certainly didn't have any lightsaber battles where I was at. But everyone who was there was a fan. As soon as the Lucasfilm logo popped up, they were cheering. As Star Wars popped up, they were cheering all through the text scroll. And then anytime something fun or exciting happened, everybody was voicing their appreciation and enjoyment of it. So it was definitely a fan crowd, and we had a really good time. When Han died, you could have dropped a pin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everybody was just...
Brian, what about you? I mean, your wife almost ruined it, but outside of that.
Yeah, I mean, I will never advocate spousal abuse, but I will.
But sometimes.
The moments leading up to this movie made me understand more. I'll tell you that.
What did she do?
It's a long story, but basically obviously this is something that we had planned for a long time and went out of town with a friend and was late getting there. We walked into the theater probably maybe 5 minutes before the 7 o'clock showing.
Oh
wow.
By the time we got in and got snacks and went in there and had to watch, we watched the 3D version, and we sat 3 rows from the front.
Ouch.
To the right side of the theater. And I think it affected the 3D viewing. Personally, but also it set me in where it my excitement level was definitely diminished, and I felt like I was definitely leaning towards the dark side by the time. So yeah, so maybe I can relate to Kylo Ren Ishii a little bit. So
that's funny.
And, but anyway, but I will say this: once you see the Lucasfilm logo, and then you see the long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then that music kicks in, you get I got chill bumps. And I started grinning, and I had this really cheesy smile on my face for the first couple of minutes as the intro scrolled up through the top, because it just felt right. It just felt, all those years of watching these movies and that excitement just came gushing back, and I forgot I wanted to punch her in the throat at that point.
So nostalgia saved Molly from a beating?
Oh, man.
It saved me from massive amounts of jail time, for sure.
same with mine. It was really crazy. We went to, like, the 8 o'clock, so the 7 o'clock show. I mean, apparently there were lines of people out the door, but thankfully by the time we got there right at 7, so we got an hour ahead of time. Theater was half full. We enjoyed it. I mean, it was a great time. Same thing Justin said, when Han Solo died, you could hear a pin drop. And a lot of tears, a lot of people were really, really sad, crying. A lot of applause, which I think it was you, Scott, said that earlier. I normally don't get it either, but man, I mean, it's hard not to. Yep. It's like, wow, you finally, all this time we have been living with the prequels and we weren't fans of them. I wasn't a fan of them. I can't speak for everybody. I wasn't a fan of them, except for maybe the third one. So, I'm like, I've said that in the normal podcast, I was approaching it with trepidation. I wasn't going in with this level of hype that Justin had, because I remembered the prequels, they already got me. I'm not doing this again. You already crushed me once. I'm not doing it, or two and a half times. So, by the time it was over, I was just so happy that my series had been brought back to me, or to the fans, and it was really cathartic and great. And it felt like, an old friend had come home. Of course, I had one guy behind me that wouldn't stop complaining about every story element. Ask her him. That's how good the movie was for me. That's how fun it was. I could tune that guy out. Didn't give a damn what he said. It was great. And to see people with their kids. I saw a grandma with her son and her grandchild. And I thought that was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Just fantastic.
All right. Well, before we go, just a brief mention of a couple of cameos that were in the film. First off, on Jakku, the junk dealer who bought parts from Rey was played and voiced by Simon Pegg. And news broke after the film came out that even though Daniel Craig had said repeatedly that he had no interest in being in the Star Wars film, even though his film of Spectre was filming in the same studios as The Force Awakens, indeed, he did have a little cameo. And for those who don't know where it's at, next time you go to the theater to watch this film, it's the scene where Rey, shut up. It's a scene where Rey is locked up on that, that table with the restraints around her wrists and her legs. And she tells a stormtrooper trying to force Jedi mind trick him into letting her go, and eventually it works. That stormtrooper she tricks is Daniel Craig.
So you could say that she made him remove her bonds.
Oh man.
Well, I guess we end on a dad joke.
Oh jeez. Wow. But yeah, so I think it's cool, and I'm betting that there are probably more cameos of people who are behind some kind of mask or prosthetic that you would recognize their name instantly. Because I know if I was an actor and I had any kind of pull, I would have my agent nonstop day and night. He will work without pay. He will be wherever. Just he wants to be in this movie. Make him a stormtrooper. Kill him. Whatever.
I mean, I did happen to notice a couple of other people. If you watch Game of Thrones, a guy named Thomas Brody Sangster, he was Jojen Reed, who found Brendan Stark. He had the sister, him and the sister.
The guy from Love Actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's right. He's right.
He ends up, but anyway, he was the one helping him with his powers. He has a small bit as one of the officers with the First Order. Greg Grunberg.
Oh yeah,
from Heroes.
He's in every J.J. Abrams property.
Yeah,
is.
Oh yeah, yeah. And Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, she was one of General Leia's
Lieutenant Connix.
Yeah, whoever her title was. Yeah.
Also, actually, before we started recording this, I read an article that said that Ewan McGregor actually did some voice work in the movie as well. Do you remember the scene where they go to Maz's fortress or whatever, and Rey has that vision? I got to go back and watch it to hear it, but apparently he has a line in there as Obi-Wan. And also they lifted some audio from Alec Guinness's dialogue.
Really?
And put that in there too. It's kind of under, it goes by very, very quickly, but I'm definitely looking forward to going and seeing it a second time just to kind of see if I can pick up on that dialogue.
Now, is that specifically to tie her character into something?
Do you think, I felt like, I got excited when I saw Max von Sydow, and I felt like they kind of wasted him.
Yeah, is he going to come back later, or what is his character? I don't understand.
I don't understand the signal. I'm like, okay, hey, here's a really recognized, fantastic actor, legendary actor, and he's dead in 2 minutes.
Yep, got to go.
I immediately went, oh, he's a bad guy? Or
well, yeah, he always is, yeah. He always is.
All right. Well, I think that that is going to do it for us today.
Oh, yeah.
If you have any thoughts and opinions that you'd like to share, please reach out to us on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Visit our page and group on Facebook or email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. You can read our reviews, see the latest trailers at our home on the web at thehollywoodoutsider.com. I want to say thank you to Darth Arrogance, Jedi Knight Bubba Gump, and of course our Padawan learner Scooter Womp Rat. Guys, thank you so much for coming on with me this morning and talking some Star Wars. It's my favorite thing to talk about. Other than me and my books, it's my favorite.
You're welcome, Darth McCumber. You're welcome.
Darth McCumber.
Everybody, please have a safe Merry Christmas or a Happy Kwanzaa, a Festivus for the rest of us, whatever it is you celebrate. Just be safe, and remember, the next time you go to a theater, may the Force be with you.